Right. Well, just going back over the course of the past week, it's a mixed bag of data in the US rather than genuinely weak. And I suppose one relieving factor last week too was the Fed's meeting, so the FOMC meeting. Whilst they didn't do anything with interest rates at their meeting, they left the rate at 4.5%, same as the previous meeting. They did give an indication in their forecast that the economic outlook is starting to suffer a little bit underneath the policies of President Trump. And even though they're still worried about inflation and the stickiness of that, there's space probably for a couple of interest rate cuts through the later part of this year. So that tended to put a floor under the sort of the weakness that we'd seen running through risk assets over the course of the past month. If we look at the data, it's a mixed bag. So some of the leading indicators are definitely pointing a bit weaker. For example, right at the beginning of last week, we had the manufacturing survey from New York State, and the Empire State survey went from plus 5.7 to minus 20. Now, that's quite a big pullback. But remembering that New York State, very much heartland of the Democrats, so they really are starting to suffer under what President Trump is proposing. But if we go down the coast a bit and we get down to the Philadelphia area, the Philadelphia Fed survey came out, and that's actually pretty strong. It was at plus 18.1 on that survey going back to February. It was expected to come back to about plus 8. It did come back to plus 12.5, and that's still a pretty strong reading. So no real problems running through there. Also, as far as the labour market's concerned, that seems to be holding up pretty well as well. Initial jobless claims for the most recent week, they're just hovering in the 220,000s, and that's actually quite a low reading and indicative of still some reasonable growth running through non-farm payrolls. So the most recent week, they went up to 223,000 from 221,000 the previous week. So not a lot of movement running through there. And below the 240,000 we saw with that bit of a blip going back a few weeks ago, that's come right out and is pointing to the labour market being in still reasonably good shape. Industrial production, too, in the US, that's a beneficiary of Trump's policies, and it seems to be coming through in the data. So February industrial production, it was expected to be up 0.2%. It was up 0.7%, and that was after a 0.3% increase month on month before. So factories in the US, there's a little bit of an improvement running through there that's coming through. We've seen that in the when we're looking at purchasing manager reports too. They're north of 50 now for the manufacturing sector. So that part seems to be responding. We also had some retail sales data for the month of February. They improved a bit. They needed to, because in January we had quite a fall. So January retail sales were down 1.2% month on month. Core retail sales were down 0.6% on revision. We had a little bit of a lift off that. So in February, retail sales lifted by 0.2% and core retail sales were up by 0.3%. Apart from that, some of the other data releases we had things like housing starts. There was a big lift in those in the month of February. They lifted by 11.2% month on month. So it's pretty strong. And existing home sales for the month of February, they were also up by 4.2% for the month. So despite all the toing and froing with policy announcements that are coming from the US and the fears about what the new regime of tit-for-tat tariffs and these sorts of things may mean for the US economy, still overall the data is not too bad running through the US. This week we'll be watching a few figures coming out. We've got consumer confidence and consumer sentiment. Now, these have come off a bit over recent months, and consumer confidence comes out on Tuesday. That's expected to come down to probably 94.2 from 98.3. and we've got the preliminary March Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, sorry, the final Michigan March Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey coming out on Friday. That did come down to 57.9 from 64.7. It's expected to still be down there around the 57.9 mark. That one also had some pretty high inflation expectations running through it too. So that's still a concern for the Fed. And talking about inflation, we get the February core personal consumption expenditure deflator coming out on Friday, and that's still expected to be around 0.3% month on month, same as the month before. So we were down to 2.6% year on year. There's a real risk this could start to motor upwards again, and you know, that's the Fed's preferred inflation measure. So some pressure points running through there. Other than that, we get things like durable goods orders. We get new home sales coming out. February new home sales are expected to lift about 3.8%. Durable goods orders, they had a good month going back to January. They're up 3.1%, so probably a bit of a good give back on that, probably down about 0.6%. And we get revised Q4 GDP. Q4 GDP came in at 2.3% annualized, which is pretty respectable. This is just a revision to that. Probably not going to be changed much, and still looking around about the 2.3% mark. Moving to China last week, and we had some indication that the Chinese regime is looking at fiscal stimulus that can help the household sector. They're talking about it being about a percentage point of GDP, which is not insignificant. And on top of that, just seems to indicate that that at least they're starting to think about addressing the problem they've got, which is too little spending by their own consumers. We haven't got too much detail on that policy yet. And also the data that came through for China last week was actually not too bad. So we had February fixed asset investment spending. That was better than expected, lifted to 4.1% year-on-year from 3.2%. February industrial production, it came off a little, but on a year-on-year basis, but not as much as the market expected it would. It came back to 5.9% year-on-year from 6.2%. And we had February retail sales. They improved to 4% year-on-year from 3.7%. That's not too bad. So that's actually looking better than it's been. And we got that prospect, as I say, of some initiatives coming through from the government there. Other data, not quite so good. So we had February house prices. They're still declining, but not quite as savagely as going back to January. In January, house prices were down 5% year-on-year. That came to down 4.8% year-on-year for the most recent reading. And the unemployment rate in China actually lifted to 5.4% from 5.1%. So that's a little bit concerning that you've got some weakness running through there. But on balance, it was looking awful. It's looking less awful. Well, I suppose is the best way to put it in current circumstances. The proviso, of course, on that is that their trade sector is going to be hit from pillar to post by the changes which are being proposed by the US. So there is obviously a headwind that comes through from that. We haven't got much in terms of any data this week. Then moving to Australia. Last week we had the labour force data. It was an interesting one because for the first time we had a quite big fall in employment. We haven't had that. We've mostly had very strong growth running through employment till the February number. It was for a very specific reason though, and employment in all usual working age groups actually went up. Where it fell was in the over 65s, and it was the over 65s that came down quite sharply, and that was also reflected in the participation rate. We had quite a drop in the participation rate from 67.2 to 66.8, but again, it was the over 65s, and so this may just be a reflection that we had after the Christmas break, a lot of people in that age group, and they are a burgeoning age group in the labour force, just took the decision to retire. So we're just waiting to see what that implies. With that big pullback in the participation rate, the unemployment rate stayed low. It stayed at 4.1%, same as the month before. So, you know, we're watching that number now, but it's still indicative of a tight labour market when you've only got the unemployment rate down there at 4.1%. So it really probably doesn't mean much for the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank may meet again in the first week of April. They're not expected to change rates in the first week of April. If there's a chance of moving rates again, it probably goes to May. One of the reasons that they're unlikely to be moving rates anytime soon, yeah, we've got the budget next week, this week on Tuesday, and it's a pre-election budget. The government's been spending pretty freely over the course of this year, and it's announced a few more in the run-up to the election. And so when you go back to when they brought down their last budget, for next financial year, which is the 2025-2026 financial year, they were predicting at the budget last year that we were going to go back into fairly substantial deficit, around $34 billion deficit. When they brought out the mid-year economic outlook, that had expanded to over $41 billion. My guess is that when you see the budget on Tuesday, it's going to be nearer to $50 billion. So they have been spending up very freely, but it's largely been recurrent spending, things like subsidies to people to try and put a temporary cap on the CPI. There've been some investment spending initiatives, but not where they're really going to lift productivity that much. They're more in electorates that need a new road or whatever to try and get them over the line in the coming election. So it's been a bit of a worrying budget. It's not been the budget that's coming is not going to be addressing any of the key issues which would help Australia to grow without inflation over the longer term. Instead, it's all pretty temporary stuff. That looks like being the shape of the budget when it comes out on Tuesday. What's probably like to happen is try and ram a fair bit of it through in the final days of next week, because it's almost certain that next weekend the government or the Prime Minister will go to the Governor General and ask him to dissolve Parliament for the election, which has to be held by the middle of May. So basically he's giving himself no time for an election campaign. Just watching to see how everything flows through on the budget next week. On Wednesday, we get the monthly CPI. This is for February. It was at 2.5% last month. It'll probably be 2.5% again. But it's being held down artificially. When we're looking at the underlying inflation rate, it's still north of 3. So those are the pressure points. What I should say is that some of the initiatives in the budget, we were looking at inflation to really flip up in the second half of 2025. It's largely because we thought the electricity rebates were coming off. Well, the announcement at the weekend extending that through to the end of the year. All it means is that now we're looking for the next big flip up in inflation to occur early in 2026. So it's just pushed it out to when we get that big push up in inflation again to well above 3%. So it's just kicking the can down the track till the Reserve Bank says, we've got an inflation problem again, and we may have to deal with that. Moving to Europe, and last week we had one or two indicators coming through there. We also had the Bank of England, their meeting. Another bank that's worried about inflation starting to get sticky, and they left the base rate at 4.5%. So you've got two key central banks here who've really been in no position to bring interest rates down further for the time being. That's the Fed and the Bank of England. That's similar for us really as well. They had the trade balance came out for Europe for the month of January. It was a lot less than expected. So trade looks as if it's going to be a bit of a drag on the growth rate in Europe. In fact, the trade surplus came down from 15.4 billion euro going back to December to only 1 billion euro for the month of January. We also had the March ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey, oddly enough, this has gone the other way, and this has actually strengthened a lot. It went from 24.2, which is already pretty firm going back to February, and it rose to 39.8, plus 39.8. That's a lot more optimists than pessimists. Why so? It's simply that Germany's looking potentially a lot better. Germany's been in deep recession over the last couple of years. But with the new government forming, they are starting to break into that that debt ceiling constraint. There's been initiatives both to break through that for infrastructure spend and also for defence spending. So there's a lot more government spending starting potentially to come through Germany, and that will make a difference in a big economy like that, and you'll see that starting to motor ahead a bit. We also had Q4 labour cost index, and some of the pressure that's been there in wages just dissipating a bit. If you went back to Q3, wage costs or labour costs in Europe were running at 4.5% year on year. That came down to 3.7%. Still higher than is needed to maintain inflation down at 2%, but sort of heading in the right direction, so slightly better out of Europe. This week in Europe, we'll get some purchasing managers index data, both the manufacturing and the services sector PMI are sitting in the high 40s, and we don't expect them to be much better than that when they come out this week. But we also get the March business and consumer survey. There might be a small improvement in this too. So it was at 96.3, might lift a little bit to 97. But generally speaking, say Europe is just a hint of something a little bit better that's starting to come through the economics there, notwithstanding the fact that they're right in the spotlight as far as trade war with the US is concerned. So just watching those factors as we go through. But for us, it's the budget, to the extent that it matters. It's a pre-election budget, the only thing we can say about the budget is it will do absolutely nothing to address the key problems that could make the Australian economy improve over the medium to longer term, i.e. productivity, nothing in the budget to help that. Keeping inflation down permanently and bearing down on it, nothing in there, all temporary stuff which is going to rebound at some point in the future. Trying to make the tax system fairer and more efficient, absolutely nothing in there about that. And as far as the housing crisis is concerned, we'll just add some more into demand there through our new shared equity position. So, if anything, it makes things a whole lot worse. That's going to be the tenor of the budget when it comes out on Tuesday.